Back this afternoon. I'm still down my 2 feet even after all that food. But I'd like to take your Bible this morning, or this evening, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Generally, when I preach, I like to take a passage like we did this morning and go through it. This afternoon is going to be a little different. We're going to take a thought here and kind of run with it some various places. And I want to just give you a thought here from verse number 5. But let's go ahead and start in verse number 1. The Bible says here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the frowardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready, lest happily, if they of Macedonia come with me, and find you unprepared, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in the same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren, that they would go before unto you, and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had notice before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty, and not as of covetousness." Let's pray right there. Father, I do thank you again for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to have the preeminence in our lives. And Father, we're so thankful for the privilege that we can assemble ourselves again, Lord, here. And Father, we're so thankful again that we have a perfect Bible that we can read and study and believe and put our hope in. And Father, I do pray now that you would meet with us and Father, take away any hindrance, any distraction now, I pray, from the preaching of your words. And God, I pray you'd help me, Father, to be a blessing to these folks, God, here this afternoon as they've been a blessing to us. And God, I pray that you will do what needs to be done in each and every heart. I pray you bless our time together, and we ask it in Jesus' name and for his soon return, who is worthy. Amen. And again, before we get started, I would like to just thank you folks for allowing us to be here. I do thank you so much for the offering. I haven't seen it yet, but I do thank you so much. It is a great blessing to us. And I want you to look in verse number 5. And I want you to look at that last phrase of verse 5. And again, I just want to try to give you a thought, kind of run with it. That the same might be ready. And I was reading my Bible one day, and the Lord kind of just used that phrase and jumped off the page about being ready. And there are some things that we have to be ready for. And God didn't save you and make you a robot. God didn't create you as a robot. There are a lot of things that are free will choice that you have to decide to do, and you have to be ready to do. So I just want to ask you this question, this thought today, and we're going to look at some verses here. And just ask you, are you ready? And some people might ask, ready for what? Well, I'm glad you asked that question this afternoon, because I want to show you some various things, and I want to precede everything we look at with that question, are you ready? Having said that, we're going to look at some Bible this evening. Take your Bibles, go to Exodus chapter 34. We're going to see the first thing that you should be ready for. Exodus chapter number 34, and look at verse number 2. Exodus 34 and verse number 2. And the Bible says, we'll start in verse number 1. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Hew thee 2 tables of stone like unto the first. And I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest." And notice verse number 2. God tells Moses, "And be ready in the morning. And come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount." God told Moses to be ready. So I want to just take that question and ask you, are you ready? See, God told Moses to be ready in the morning at the place where he was to meet with him. Are you ready? Are you ready in the morning to meet the Lord?
Come on.
Now, you know, I understand that you can talk to the Lord, and you should talk to the Lord throughout the day, that you can read the Bible and meditate on the Bible, and you should throughout the day. But you'll find a reoccurring theme throughout the Bible where people, they were ready in the morning to meet the Lord.
Amen.
Now, why is it in the generation in which we live, this Laodicean Christianity, Laodicea in which we live, why is it that the average saved person is more ready to grab a hold of this in the morning than they are this in the morning? Why is it that we're more ready to find out what man has to say in the morning than what God has to say in the morning? Why is it that we're more concerned about what's going on around the world with the coronavirus than we are with what's going on with God? Why is it that we're more concerned, it seems, about the things of man than the things of God? Are you ready in the morning? You know, that's not going to come automatically. You know, when I got saved, there were some things there that didn't change. My old lazy flesh was still hanging around. Amen? And my flesh is like your flesh in the morning. It would rather lay in the bed and sleep till the very last second than jump up, get dressed, and go do what I need to do. Instead of being ready in the morning. You know, your pastor, I'm sure, doesn't call you or shouldn't have to call you every morning and say, you need to wake up, you need to pray, you need to read your Bible. I mean, he's not going to send out a group text message to the entire church, say, don't forget to pray and read your Bible this morning. That's your responsibility. Have we got to a place where we leave off personal responsibility? I mean, you've got to decide, yes, he is my God, he is my Savior, he is my Maker. I want to spend time with him, and I'm by the grace of God, I'm going to be ready in the morning. You know, if you're saved by the grace of God, the most important thing in this life to you should be your personal fellowship with the Lord. More important than your fellowship with your spouse. More important than your fellowship with your children. More important than any hobby or any career that you might have is your personal fellowship with the Lord. And like any relationship, that's comprised upon communication. You get some of these men have been married for a while, they'll tell you the importance of communication in a marriage, in a relationship.
That's right.
And that's what prayer and Bible reading basically consists of. Obviously, prayer is you talking to God. We call it praying, but throughout the Bible, that's what basically what prayer means, talking to God. And you reading the Bible is allowing God to talk to you. You close that Bible, you don't get on your face and pray. You have shut off communication between you and God. You take a husband and wife and they don't communicate, they don't talk, they won't have much of a relationship. You and I need to be ready in the morning. Look back in Genesis quickly, Genesis chapter number 19. And I'm not telying you that it's doctrine that if you that you're not allowed to pray and read your Bible anytime, other times throughout the day. But you'll find that reoccurring theme that these men of God were ready in the morning at their appointed place and appointed time to spend some time with the Lord, to commune with the Lord. In Genesis chapter number 19, look at verse number 27. Genesis chapter number 19, look at verse number 27. And the Bible says, and Abraham got up early in the morning. Where? Why? To the place where he stood before the Lord. What's the first thing you do in the morning? I mean, do you have an appointed time, appointed place where you want to spend some time with the Lord? Where it's just you and it's just the Lord?
Yes, sir.
You know, as a husband and father, I learned a long time ago that if I want to have that time with the Lord, I had to get up before my family, especially when my children were little. I mean, once those little rugrats get up and they're running around, you will have no peace. You will have no quiet.
Yes,
and I had to make a decision. I needed to be ready in the morning. That wasn't my wife's responsibility. That wasn't my pastor's responsibility.
Yes,
that wasn't my mama's responsibility. That was my responsibility to be ready to meet the Lord. And how many Christians will go day in and day out and won't have that quality time with the Lord? I look at Psalm chapter 5. Psalm chapter 5. Just look at some examples here quickly. Psalm chapter number 5.
Thank you, Lord.
Psalm chapter 5, and notice what the Bible says here. In verse number 1, Psalm 5, 1, "Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray." Notice the determination that David made here. He was ready. "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." There's nothing like beginning your day with prayer and Bible reading. It will establish a mindset throughout the day that will help you to stay in communication throughout the day. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying, okay, you get your time in with the Lord in the morning. And by the way, I'm not telling you that, hey, it has to be 30 minutes. It has to be an hour. That's between you and God, but you need to have some time with the Lord. But I am also not saying that once you get your prayer and Bible reading in the morning that you're done, that you can check out for the day. But it will establish a mindset and a heart set that will help you to stay in fellowship with the Lord throughout the day. It'll help you to be able to communicate with Him throughout the day. It'll help you to be able to pray throughout your day. Yes, you start your day that way, but you don't finish right there. But that is how you should begin your day. Are you ready? Monday morning's rolling around. Are you ready in the morning to meet the Lord? Do you have a plan already? By the grace of God, I am going to get up early enough that I can have some time to spend with the Lord. I want to have some time on my face talking to my God. I want to have some time on my where I can talk to God and read His words. A lot of Christians say, well, I'll just wake up, and whatever time I wake up, if there's time, I'll do it. And if there's not time, then I just won't do it. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Go over to Mark chapter 1 quickly. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter number 1. Let's see the Lord Jesus Christ here. Mark chapter number 1. And notice what the Bible says here in verse number 35. "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed." See, the Lord Jesus Christ, while He was on this earth, God manifest in the flesh, He was ready in the morning to meet the Father. He was ready in the morning to commune with the Father. Hey, how about you? Are you ready in the morning? Yeah, I mean, you have a plan. By the grace of God, I know what time I've got to be out the door. So, hey, personal responsibility. This is how much time I want to spend with the Lord praying and reading my Bible. So I need to make sure that I get my drag my lazy carcass out of bed in the morning so that I can have time with the Lord. Are you ready? Not, you should be. Look at a practical thing. Back in Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 9. Talks about honoring the Lord with thy first fruits, thy substance. And the Bible says in Proverbs 3:9, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." Not just a practical application. I figure God gives me every single day I've got. Why would I want to give God the leftovers? Come on, that's right. Why wouldn't I want to honor God with the first fruits of my day? I got a message I've preached, and I've talked about I talked about three different kinds of first fruits. I preached about monthly first fruits, and in Italy they get paid once a month. You can honor God with that. You should honor God with those first fruits. And then the weekly first fruits, the first day of the week. But the daily first fruits. Honoring God with the daily first fruits of your day. Well, don't have the mentality, you know what, when I get done with my day, and if there's time, then I'll give some time to God. And you drag your half-dead carcass into bed at night, get ready to go to sleep. You think that's the time that you're going to pray, and you think that's the time you're going to read your Bible? You know, I went to boot camp right after graduation, went to a place called Parris Island, South Carolina, spent 13 weeks in Marine Corps boot camp. And I had only been saved about 7 months, and I went with the determination and a New Testament that I was going to read my Bible every day. Now, the only free time, hey, let me tell you, if you've never been in the military, it's not like what you've seen on television. I don't know about Army boot camp and Navy boot camp and Air Force boot camp. Well, I'm talking about the military. We'll leave Navy out for a second. I don't know about the other military branches here. Just kidding, if we have any Air Force people here. I don't know about them folk. But Marine Corps boot camp, you know how much free time you had? Zero. 13 weeks. From the very moment you wake up and the time you crawl in the rack at night, every moment is accounted for by somebody else. I mean, you want to talk about you're not your own, you're bought with a price. Therefore, that's the military. I mean, you're not your own boss. You're owned by them, basically. So I went to boot camp with the determination I was going to read my New Testament, my Bible, every day. But the only time I had to read was at night. We'd climb up in that rack after about a 16-hour day and just exhausted and turn on my faithful little moonbeam flashlight. And I tell you what, I could get about 5 verses out, and that was it. And I just couldn't do it. I mean, there was no way to do it. And that's how a lot of folk today, they have that mentality. A lot of saints, they have that mentality. You know, I'll just pray and read my Bible at night. Yeah, you'll be like that guy, write out your prayer list, and you'll tape it to your ceiling above your bed, and you crawl in bed, and you just point to it. Say, there it is, Lord. There's my request. Good night. If you want to have some good quality communion with the Lord, you've got to be ready in the morning. You've got to determine by the grace of God, I'm going to set this time aside. It's going to be my time with the Lord to pray and to read my Bible. So are you ready? I would encourage you to be ready for that fellowship with the Lord. Are you ready in the morning? And if you're ready in the morning, that'll help you with this one. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 3. Something else you ought to be ready for. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 15. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Are you ready? I mean, are you ready? I mean, if how many times you ever talk to somebody about the Lord, ask them a question, you know, about being saved, and they ask you the same question. How many times you ever had a Jehovah's Witness knock on your door? How many times you ever had a coworker ask you a question about salvation? How many times you ever had somebody ask you a question? Are you ready? I mean, are you ready to give an answer of the hope that lies in you? Now, this takes some study on your part. This takes some diligence on your part. I mean, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yes, sir. Are you ready right now? This afternoon, if someone was to ask you about your Christianity, if somebody was to ask you about salvation, if somebody was to ask you about Jesus Christ, would you be ready to be able to take a Bible and to show them how to get saved, what you did to get saved? Would you be able to show them something from the Bible? Are you ready? It's amazing how many professing Christians can't take a Bible and show anybody anything about salvation, anything about Jesus Christ. Look with me in Acts chapter number 17. Acts chapter number 17. Acts chapter number 17. And look at verse number 10. See a great compliment here. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 10. And the Bible says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. They were more noble. They searched the scriptures daily. They didn't take a man's word for it. They didn't just believe what the apostles said. They wanted to see it for themselves. They wanted to see, thus saith the Lord, and why? You know, in Italy, in case you didn't know, there are a few Roman Catholics there. For Italians, to be Catholic is just part of the culture there. And, you know, you talk to them about the gospel, and you ask them, they say, do you know what the gospel is? They'll say, I know what the gospel is. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, they know things they learned about catechism, But it's all based upon tradition. And you know what the Bible says here? They were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? That they received the word. You know, one thing about a Roman Catholic is he's been trained to believe what a man tells him. When their Pope steps out and speaks ex cathedra, they are taught to believe that is as if God himself was speaking. And you don't question what the Pope says. You don't question what a priest says. You don't question those things. But you know what we believe is we want to see it right here. If your pastor gets up to preach the Word of God, to teach you the Word of God, that's a great thing. But you ought to be following along. I mean, not that he would necessarily lead you astray intentionally, but he might misspeak. Amen. And that book ought to be your final authority. Not man, not tradition, but the Word of God. I mean, are you ready? It'll take some diligent study on your part. Amen.
Yes, sir.
But unfortunately, most professing Christianity today is definitely not ready to give an answer to the hope that might lie in them. But you should be ready. There's no excuse. If you've been washed in the blood, you've been saved, there is no excuse for you. Now, if you've just gotten saved, maybe. But you've been saved for any amount of time, there's no excuse that you are not ready to give an answer of the hope that lies in you. You should be.
That's right.
And if you're ready in the morning, meet the Lord, and you spend time in this book, and you're faithful to sit under preaching and teaching of the Word of God, you will be ready to give an answer of that hope that lies in you. Look with me in Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. Are you ready in the morning? Are you ready to give an answer? And now Romans chapter number 1. Look at verse number 15. Romans 1:15, the Apostle Paul says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." And you know, that implies more than just having an academic knowledge of what the gospel is. I mean, the Bible's clear. Paul revealed the gospel. He wrote it down, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day. Paul preached Christ and him crucified. Paul preached there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Mary's no way to heaven. No church is any way to heaven. Sacraments are no way to heaven. Salvation is through Christ and him alone. Yes, you need to have that academic knowledge, but also to be ready to preach the gospel takes a bit more than that. You have to understand that Paul, and I share something in common, or at least Paul did, and that's his, according to the flesh, we're both chickens. I was not born ready to talk to people, especially not ready to preach the gospel to anybody. You say, Paul had that problem? Let me show you in Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. The ministry or preaching was not my desired profession growing up. I didn't grow up wanting to be a preacher. I wanted to grow up wanting to be a police officer. That was my desire. I wanted to be a police officer. Amen? Come after Brother Dale there. But I wanted to be a police officer. I did. And now God changed that desire. But I tell you what, especially when I was growing up in high school, I didn't care at all for public speaking. I still don't care much for it today, amen? I mean, in high school, state of Alabama, it was required in 12th grade English lit, you had to do some public speaking. And I don't know how, honestly, I graduated from a public high school in state of Alabama because I didn't do any of that public speaking. When it was my turn to get up in front of my classmates and do some public speaking, I was absent. I was conveniently absent that day. And I wasn't sick either, amen? I was either at the local Burger King, I don't know where I was at, but I was not in class in my appointed place and appointed time getting up and addressing my fellow classmates. You say, why? A big chicken. I just did not like standing in front of people. You know, I don't know many people. Maybe some people are born that way. I was not born with the courage to get up in front of people. So what happened here? Well, in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul, of course, from verses 10 down to verse 17, 18, he's giving you the armor of God. He gives you all seven components, finishing in verse 18 with prayer. That's a very important component of the armor of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then notice what he says in verse 19, and for me. Amen. Pray, and now he's saying pray for me, what? Notice what he says, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. The great apostle Paul requested prayer to have boldness to open his mouth and Amen. Make known the mystery of the gospel. Good. You need that boldness. I need that boldness. And you know what we need to do? We need to pray. We need to ask God to give us boldness to open our mouth to make known the mystery of the gospel. Then he says in verse number 20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. What a prestigious title, ambassador. After I spent about a year in Japan, I decided, of course, I wanted to be a police officer, and I wasn't doing anything remotely related to that. So I applied for a program called Embassy Duty, Marine Security Guard Program. Marines do security at all the embassies around the world. So I applied for that, and I got that. My first duty station was Budapest, Hungary. And I'd never been around an ambassador. You know, those guys are dignitaries, you know. I mean, they're pretty, you know, Mr. Honorable so-and-so. And an ambassador. I mean, people look at these guys and, man, they've got a prestigious position. I mean, they get police escorts where they go. I mean, you know, that's a pretty big deal. Ambassador. But exactly what is an ambassador? I mean, our Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. We're an ambassador. If you're saved, you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. But what is an ambassador? Take your Bibles, go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 18. And one of the many things I love about my King James Bible is the built-in dictionary. Yes, sir. And in Isaiah chapter number 18, notice what the Bible says. Isaiah 18:2. Ambassador. The Bible says that sendeth ambassadors by the sea. Now that's the word we're looking for. What does it mean? Even in vessels of bulrushes upon the water, saying, go ye swift messengers. That's one of the ways the Bible interprets itself, is by substitution. Gives you that word ambassador, then it replaces it with another word that any redneck from Alabama can understand, and that's messenger. Now, you look at an ambassador today, I was surprised to learn how they become ambassadors. I thought, man, these guys have put their time in at the United States Department of State, and man, they've worked their way up the food chain. No. You know, most of the ambassadors, you know how they get there?
That's right.
Money. I was shocked by that. We had an ambassador when I was at the embassy in Rome. He was the ambassador to the Holy See. The Vatican. Yeah, not a great thing. Anyway, his name was Ray Flynn. He was the former mayor of Boston. Very Roman Catholic. He was a drunkard. He had a very poor testimony. But as I learned that he became appointed ambassador by Bill Clinton, because evidently he was president of the mayor's, whatever they call it, council on the Northeast Coast. He rallied the Northeast and got Bill Clinton the votes up there. And as a payback, a political payback, he was appointed as an ambassador to the Holy See. But you know, that's not how you and I become ambassadors. God makes you an ambassador. And you say, what is it? It's a messenger. You know, ambassadors generally are sent from one country to another. They represent a king or a sovereign of some sort. They represent a nation. And when they go there basically as a mouthpiece, as a messenger. That's what they're supposed to do. They go there, they represent the United States of America. If America sends out an ambassador, they represent the President of the United States, the people of the United States, and they have a certain message to deliver. If you're saved by the grace of God, you are an ambassador of Christ. You represent heaven, and you represent our sovereign, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have a specific message to deliver. And see, the problem is when these ambassadors, they go off reservation and they start giving their opinions. You weren't sent there to give your opinion. Amen. You need to delay. You need to give the message that you were given to deliver. And if you're saved by the grace of God, you are an ambassador. Your opinions don't matter when it comes to people getting saved. My opinions don't matter. Your traditions don't matter. My traditions don't matter. We've been given a specific message. And Paul said, pray for me that I will have the boldness to open my mouth to make known the mystery of the gospel. When's the last time you preached Christ and Him crucified? When's the last time you told somebody that Jesus Christ died for their sins, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day? He paid the price. He made the sacrifice. He shed His blood. The price has already been paid. Their good works is not going to get them to heaven. Their church is not going to get them to heaven. Mary is not going to get them to heaven. We are ambassadors for Christ. Are you ready? Are you ready? You have the boldness. You have the academic understanding of what the gospel is. Are you ready to preach the gospel? Are you ready to tell somebody about their need of Jesus Christ? He can save them from their sin. He can set them free. Yeah. It's not a pastor's primary responsibility as a pastor to preach the gospel. His job as a pastor is to feed the flock of God. Now, as an ambassador, yes, he preached the gospel. But wouldn't it be an amazing thing if every saved person had a mentality, I want to try to reproduce after my own kind. I've got a message that God has given me. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to be faithful to preach that message. Amen. Are you ready? Are you ready in the morning? Are you ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you? Are you ready to preach the gospel? Let me show you something else quickly. Titus chapter number 3. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter number 3, look at verse number 1. Titus 3:1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers. Oh, subject, subjection. See, my old rebellious heart doesn't like that, amen? God's given powers in my life that I need to subject myself to. I need to subject myself to my God. I need to subject myself to civil authority. There are authorities in our life we need to subject to. And oh boy, our old rebellious nature doesn't like that. To obey magistrates and to obey, be ready to every good work. To speak evil of no man, to be brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Be ready to every good work. See, my old wicked heart is not ready to every good work. My old flesh is not ready to every good work. But I need to understand that by the grace of God, I need to be ready to every good work. Now, I know that, and you know, that you are not saved by good works. You're not kept saved by good works. But oh, we forget about Ephesians chapter 2:10. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Those good works don't save you. Those good works don't keep you saved. But you are saved to produce good works.
Amen. That was good.
Say, what's the purpose then? Hey, if I'm saved, why should I produce any good works? Look down there in Titus chapter 3. Look at verse number 14. Let ours also learn to maintain good works, not to save you, not to keep you saved, for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Oh, how many unfruitful saints are there? How many unfruitful Christians are there? Hey, I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ someday in Revelation chapter number 4. I sure would like to have some way to show my gratitude to the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about the judgment seat of Christ. Your work's going to be tried. And man, gold, silver, precious stones, they'll be purified by the fire, but wood, hay, stubble, you burn up and all be left as a bunch of ashes. And I sure would hate to stand before the Lord with a handful of ashes and say, Lord, here is a manifested token of my appreciation, my gratitude, my love for you.
Oh,
amen. You know, I don't know much, been married 24 years, but I know if I want to show some love to my wife or manifest my love to her, I tell you what, a handful of ashes is not going to get the job done. It's not going to communicate what I'm trying to tell her, amen? I mean, diamonds, roses, those things communicate well. But to stand there with a handful of ashes, and I tell you what, it's unfortunate that we're so wrapped up in ourselves that we're not ready to every good work. I mean, you know good works don't save you. Good works don't keep you saved. But my goodness, why are you saved? To glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Your purpose in this universe, you've been created for His pleasure, not your pleasure. Be ready to every good work. Be ready to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Be ready to do something that will bring honor and glory to Him, to bring pleasure to Him. And we're so concerned bringing pleasure to ourselves. God help us to be ready to every good work. Now, go with me to Matthew chapter number 24. Matthew chapter number 24. And I'd like to close with this. Matthew chapter number 24. Matthew chapter number 24. Look at verse number 44. Therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And I believe He's coming. Now I understand the context here is Second Advent, Revelation chapter number 19. I understand that. But that phrase there, be ready. Now it's dangerous for a missionary to go into a church, you know. I assume you folks are pre-trib. I don't know. People ask me all the time, you pre-trib? Man, I'm pre-everything. I mean, you say you believe in a pre-tribulation rapture? Man, I believe in all kinds of raptures. I believe in a pre-flood rapture. I believe in a post-flood rapture. Pre-flood, it's Enoch. I believe in a post-flood, Elijah. I believe in a post-ascension rapture there at the Lord Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 1. Yeah, I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. I believe in all kinds of raptures. And I believe He's coming. I know He's coming. And the Bible says, be ye also ready. Amen. I mean, I am pre-trib. I believe He's coming. I don't know when He's coming, but I know He's coming. And I'm ready. Amen. You say, when were you expecting Him? I was expecting Him yesterday. He didn't come. I was hoping by this morning. I was hoping I'd even have to get out of bed and be ready in the morning to meet the Lord on my knees. I thought maybe He'd just come back and take us up out of here immediately and meet Him in the clouds. But be ready for the Lord's coming. I mean, He's coming. Amen. Yeah, He's coming. Say, when? I don't know. Look in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 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 Look at Paul here. He's writing the last chapter, last book. He's in Rome getting ready to die. You ever come to Rome, I can take you where he and Peter were in prison there. I can take you to where when they cut off his head bounced three times and they erected three fountains, you know, where his head, one, two, three. They call it the Tre Fontane, the three fountains where his head bounced, you know, crazy stuff. Anyway, 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says here in verse 6, I am now ready to be offered and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only. So what is that crown of righteousness for? But unto all them also that love His appearing. He's attaching that thing to Him loving His appearing. Paul went out just looking for Jesus Christ. He wanted to be with Jesus Christ shortly after his head got chopped off. He was with the Lord, absent for the body, present with the Lord, but ready for Him to come. Now, I don't know if I'm going to see Him this side of the rapture or see Him at the rapture. I mean, one thing's for sure, in 100 years, we're all going to be with the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. But I'm still looking for Him to come. I mean, I still hope He comes today, maybe tomorrow. But Paul had a love for His appearing, thinking about His appearing. You know, I think we get so wrapped up in ourselves that we have so little time to think about the Lord. Colossians chapter 3 says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And why is it we're just always looking down? We're like that animal. You know, a dog goes around. He's never walking around like this. You ever seen a dog walk around looking at the ceiling? He's not looking up. He's looking down. You say, why? Because he's looking for food. He's looking for his next meal. Because that's all he knows. And you see people, Christians, running around, and they're so focused on this earth and this life, when you ought to have your affection set on things above and not on things on this earth. But Paul had a love for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Best I can tell, the very last prayer in the Bible, Revelation chapter number 22, Verse number 21, verse number 20, the last prayer is, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." It's not a prayer for world peace. It's not a prayer for unity of humanity. It's not a prayer for anything that the United Nations is trying to push. It is not a prayer for the environment. It is a prayer for the Lord's return, to be with the Lord.
Yes.
Are you ready? Are you ready? See, that was the question today. Are you ready? Are you ready in the morning? Are you ready to meet the Lord? I mean, do you make that meeting with the Lord a priority in your life? But I want to give the Lord the first fruits of my day. I want to start out with some time with the Lord. Before I spend time with my family, before I spend time with my children, before I check in with the world, I want to just spend time with the Lord. Are you ready in the morning? Are you ready to give an answer of the hope that lieth in you? Are you ready to preach the gospel? Are you ready? Are you ready for the Lord to come?
Yes. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much, Lord. You've given us a Bible that's absolute truth, and Father, that we can know some things, Lord. And Father, I pray that you'll bless the preaching of your words. Father, I pray you'd help each one now. I pray that you will do what needs to be done in each and every heart, Father. That you will have that number one place in our life, that preeminent place, that we want to start our day with you. We want to fellowship and commune with you throughout the day and finish our day with you. And God, help us, I pray, to be ready in the morning. That we be ready, Father, to give an answer, the hope that lies in us. We be ready, Father, to preach the gospel. Help us, I pray, Father. We be ready to every good work. And we'll be ready for your return, looking for, just desiring to see the Lord Jesus Christ. We look through a glass darkly now, but then face to face. And I pray, Father, that you would just deal with each and every heart. If comfort's needed, I pray you'd give comfort. Now, Father, if a rebuke is needed, I pray you'd give that. Reproof, exhortation, whatever needs to be done, that you would do it. Give the increase, Father. I pray you'd bless this church, Father. Pray for the pastor that you'd guide and direct him. Give him wisdom, Father. Help him, Lord. I pray you'd bless him, Father, and help him in the weeks and months to come, Father. Lord, you've been so good to us, and we don't deserve it. We thank you, Lord. We love you. We ask it all in Jesus' name, and for his soon return, who is worthy. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh.